All right. Before we get into the Shulchan Aruch we're up to, I have here was sent to me this court opinion, and I'd like to explain what it's about and the important paragraphs and the ramifications in halacha. This case was a case of a mortgage that was sold through Liberty Point Bank, Oliver Shalom, which was here on Coney Island Avenue and Avenue J. And when it went through the bank, apparently one of the documents contained reference to Ete Iska. And at one point, the defendants, that is, the Liberty Point Bank, was taken over by the FDIC and transferred to a different bank,
the Valley National.
And what? This is my last copy, I'm sorry. They sued not only to take over a mortgage, to take over the property which was mortgaged, but also to sue the individuals personally for the balance of the mortgage. And the individual sued personally did not mind losing the property. Maybe they minded, but they were ready to lose the property, but they did not want to be personally liable. They were personally liable. They guaranteed the loan, apparently. So the part of their argument was a Hete Iska argument. Now, it's a little complicated. Let me tell you, there are documents which contain a Hete Iska and then contain a paragraph. If you look on page 2, on the second column of the first side, page 2, near the bottom, the next to the last paragraph, see Hete Iska. See Hete Iska is a direct quote from the reference to the Hete Iska document, which is in the original document. I don't like this. You'll see right away the reason. It says, see Hete Iska. The board of directors of the bank is committed to the operation of the bank's business in accordance with Jewish law, and that all transactions which the bank engages shall be in accordance with such Jewish law. To ensure compliance with Jewish law, the bank has entered into a Hete Iska. I don't see where the emphasis was added. But anyway, that's what it says. Then it says later, nothing in this paragraph shall affect the jurisdiction of the courts of the state where the premise is located, or affect the application of civil laws provided in this section. Now that always troubles me. That means that they were doing a Hete Iska, but it shouldn't count. So it always troubles me. And in one case, I told somebody it wasn't good. He went back to the institution. The institution put me in touch with a certain Talmud Chacham who had written the Lashon. And he had argued that if two firm people enter into an agreement, even if they don't plan to pursue it in civil court, it's a binding agreement. I said, well, it could be so if they don't intend to pursue it, but not if they write in the next line that nothing here shall affect the application of civil law. They're saying it's nothing. Well, in the decision here, the decision is not totally clear as it would affect every Hete Iska. The crucial part of the decision is on page 3, the next to the last paragraph. Now, I have to tell you, something happened along the way. I only have this document. Somewhere along the way, after the arguments were entered, the two sides backed out of the Hete Iska argument. It sounds like some Rav told them not to do it, because it doesn't make sense that both sides would back out simultaneously from an argument. But the judge ruled on it anyway. So you found here next to the last paragraph, here the defense initially argued that Jewish law does not support the entry of a deficiency judgment pursuant to the Hete Iska. Now he says initially argued because apparently there was some retraction. Now it seeks to argue that the Hete Iska did not exist. This court notes that the foregoing position has been set forth by all the parties. Those both parties are retracting the Hete Iska argument. However, the Hete Iska provision of the mortgage document clearly indicates its existence. So both sides are saying it doesn't exist, and the judge is saying, oh yes, it does. The mortgage says it existed at the time of the mortgage. The issue then becomes, what impact does such agreement have on the plaintiff's right to enforce the terms of provision of the mortgage? Since I would ask a lawyer how it could be in both sides say that iska didn't exist, that a judge should say, I'm going to rule on it anyway because it did exist. Both sides are lying and they're saying it didn't exist. So apparently a judge has that authority. I don't know. Now, what he rules, so he rules on this even though both sides seem to have retracted their desire for a ruling. He says in the bottom, Heta Iska, or Heta Iska, however you spell it, was a device developed in the 12th to 14th centuries to overcome the biblical prohibition against charging interest by one Jew to another, and it was patterned upon agreement of partnership or joint venture. Again, I don't see where the emphasis was added. Wherein the lender would supply the money and the borrower, a working partner, had complete freedom to use the capital. He guaranteed the investment against loss and guaranteed a minimum return. The impact of the Heta Iska was noted in the seminal case, obviously 1992. The court noted that the Heta Iska constituted, quote, merely a compliance in form with Hebraic law, and that a partnership is not created thereby. In this instance, in the instant matter, there exists no separate shtar iska, partnership agreement, which can be asserted to vary the terms of the mortgage. Now, that argument would apply to every case. Then he says, furthermore, the explicit language of the mortgage clearly disavows any such intent to substitute the relevant laws with that of Jewish law. The mortgage provides, in relevant part, the state and federal authorities and courts and authorities with jurisdiction, the property jurisdiction, shall have jurisdiction over all controversies that shall arise under or in relation to the note that is securing the debt with any loan document, and this I think is the crucial piece, nothing in this paragraph shall affect the jurisdiction of the courts of the state where the premises is located or affect the application of civil laws provided in this section. It is clear that the parties intended to be bound by civil laws of the appropriate jurisdiction, and a contract must be construed according to the expressed intent of the parties. In sum, the Heta agreement does not alter clear civil law terms of a note and mortgage. Accordingly, the terms of such agreement are not grounds for overturning foreclosure judgments. So there are really three things here that are chidushim. Now, the first is just an incidental chidush, that where both sides retracted their claim of a Heta Iska and didn't provide the actual document, the court chose to rule on it anyhow. Now, what's again to us are the two points that he makes. Now, the first is more important than the second. The first is he's saying, even if there was no second paragraph that seems to retract the Heta Iska. In the first paragraph, he says the Heta Iska is just, like Rabbi Shah writes, the Heta Iska is not just a kameya. You wait for that interest and it becomes mutter. So the courts are saying, oh yeah, a Heta Iska is just a method by which you wave it at Isser and it becomes mutter, and then bang, everything else it becomes mutter and everything else continues.
It defines, but it doesn't constitute a partnership. Maybe in civil law it doesn't constitute a partnership. Maybe in Jewish law he would agree to it.
Maybe in Jewish law he would agree that it does. I don't think it matters. He wasn't basing anything on Frumkeit. The judge's name. End of document. JSC. Who's that?
Supreme Court. Bruce Cousins.
Bruce Cousins. Barry Cousins. Okay. At any rate, now I was asked about my feelings on this and. There are two things. First of all, my understanding is that a number of years ago the Shaila came up, and my understanding of the Psak of one of the Gedalei Adar was asked was that if two from people enter into a Heter Iska, then between them they're agreeing. If they're from people and I want to be Ivar Ribis, they're saying, look, whatever the law is, whatever secular law is, I don't want to be over in the Sidaraisa, and between you and I, this is a binding agreement, and that they mean for the Heta Iska to be real. Where it's done with people that are not from, or where it's done with people that may be from, but are not Shomrei Halacha Kedin. So there, it is a joke. It's indeed a joke. Now, that's even when the second paragraph is not there. That's when the second paragraph is not there. Here, when the second paragraph is added, that certainly seems to be a problem. I'm going to comment on it in a minute. That certainly seems to be something of a problem. Now, I got some flack because apparently the Apple Bank in Brooklyn has a Heta Iska. And I had said that I told people, I always tell people, not to take mortgages from Apple Bank. You want to make deposits, you can, because Rav Moshe says that if it's a corporation and there's no personal guarantees, it's okay. But not to take mortgages from there. And it was something of a tumult. I told someone not to, and it was already in the pipework, and he said he has a disk, and whatever it was. So I took a little bit of flack. But when a local bank manager makes a head to Iska just for his branch, it's clear he has no authority to do that. He has no authority to just sign a head to Iska document. It's certainly not the intention of the bank to honor the head to Iska document. And therefore, the entire issue is an issue which to me is a joke and should not be. It's one thing if you make a deposit where it's worth it anyway, but take a mortgage from Apple or Emigrant or any of the banks that you know are problematic, where the bank owners are not from people, it's definitely an issue. Now, in the case of this bank that they're discussing, the manager of the bank came to me to do a head to Iska. Unfortunately, he came to me after the bank was open for a while. The bank should not have been opened without a head to Iska. And when he came to me, I really did not, for whatever personal reason, did not want to get involved in making a head to Iska. I told him to go to Eretz Yisrael, get a copy of the Bedatz head to Iska for the banks in Eretz Yisrael, translate it and use it. If there are any relevant legal things that have to be changed, give it to a lawyer and change it. And that's the way the head to Iska should have been done. Whether it was ever done, I don't know. The judge says that no head to Iska document was ever found. That's what he writes, that in the document that referred to it, and it says, as the defendants contend that the evidence uncovered that the head to Iska never actually existed. And that's what he says. And that if that's true, it would be unfortunate. Banks should not be running that way. Now, about this last paragraph.
Well, this bank was taken over. Even if the bank made a head to Iska beforehand and went for foreclosure, another bank took it over. Back up here, in this case. So what happens over there? Can this other bank just do away with it or what? How does it work?
Well, if the head to Iska was worth something, it would carry over. However, I want to explain to you that today most companies that give mortgages, certainly small banks, and certainly the mortgage companies, they give their own money for a mortgage, but they hold it for a month or two. They sell the mortgages. They sell the mortgages and they're done with it. That's the way it's typically done. There are a handful of very big companies that own most of the mortgages. But the mortgages are typically passed on. Now, for that reason, the initial document has to be drawn in a way that allows it to be passed on. If I do an Iska with you and you sell it, how does it become a mortgage? You know, it's one thing to change a loan into a Iska. How do you change a Iska back into a loan? So documents that are written properly are written to address that. In this case, if you follow it, this bank did not originate, the firm bank did not originally give the loan. The loan originated with a different bank and eventually was purchased by Liberty Point Bank when they added to the mortgage. The original mortgage was $700,000, they added $900,000, and then the Engelstein Family Company was the original mortgagee. The Engelstein Family Company transferred all its rights, title, interest, and the subject premises to Lindbergh. And Park, which was the original bank, was not even the original, it was the second bank. This thing went through a number of banks. I think Park was the second bank. Where is it?
Page 2 it says
Park. Yeah, but earlier it says when Park bought it. Anyway, it changes hands all the time, and that's the reason that this last paragraph is put in, because they want to sell it. In order to sell it, oh, there it is. In January 2002, on page 2, the third paragraph, the so-and-so family company, prior owner of such a, mortgaged the real property in the Mount Everest Bank, excuse me, the original mortgage, note, to Gotham Bank. Gotham was first. Then Gotham assigned the mortgage to Park. Park was second. Then Park assigned the mortgage to Liberty Point. So this is the way the loans work. They are quickly transferred from one to the other. And that's why this last paragraph is put in. It's very hard to do business without it.
Why can't you just have an ISCA with an assignability provision so that the ISCA could go from bank to bank just like it should?
Because the guy doesn't want to have the ISCA. When a Jewish company is selling a mortgage, the buyer is not interested in a heter iska. He's not interested in a regular mortgage. So anything that's a regular mortgage form.
Something that works.
No, he's something that doesn't give him headaches. He wants a typical mortgage form, the way it's always drawn up. The lawyers look at it. They say, this is it, fine. If there's any kinks there, anything unusual, they go to somebody else. There are plenty of mortgages that are for sale. That's why they want a form that's easy, that's familiar, and that's that.
You know, if legislation were passed that an ISCA has to be recorded, it could maybe avoid problems.
Not really, because American law does not prohibit you and I from doing any deal in the world without recording it, as long as we don't go to the courts to help us. You and I could do a business deal if we want. We could do any business deal we want. The government, as long as we don't steal from the government. The government doesn't prohibit us from doing business deals. There's never a requirement. I could sell you my house without you recording it.
I'm saying
that the government doesn't care. If we get along, whatever deal we make, they don't care as long as we don't cheat anybody. But so even if it has to be recorded, it would have to be recorded for purposes of the courts pursuing it. But the government allows individuals to make conditions. Anyway, this ruling is something of a problem, at least for the last paragraph for sure, and even for a regular heter iska, the courts don't seem to recognize it. In a case, at least, where they're totally firm people on both sides, I don't think it's okay. In other cases, I don't think so. I think it's something of a problem.
How can the court recognize it if the parties don't want to recognize it? You're asking if the court do more than the parties.
Well, the parties initially recognized it, but they backed off. I'm assuming they backed off because of financial reasons. One side or the other without interest in continuing. If they both backed off, I would assume that Rabbanim told them not to mess up the whole thing. No, back off in the argument. They argued in front of the court that there was an ISCA, and then both sides together asked the court to ignore the argument. All right, let's get back to the Shulchan Aruch, the Siman Kuf Samach. I believe we're up to Sif Yud Daled. Sif Yud Gimel was a kula, and Sif Yud Daled is a chumra.
I mean, does the Chazanish say this is Shemesh now?
That's interesting. The Chazanish, when he learned the mathematics, the papers on which he did the numbers of the Cheshbon HaRakia, he put into Shemesh. It was just numbers. Chai Knievsky has a sefer, Shekel HaKodesh, on Hilchus Kiddush HaKodesh. His introduction, he writes this. That when the Chazanish learned Hilchus Kiddush HaChodesh and he did the math, the papers had only numbers, he put into Shemus. You understand that?
I want to ask somebody if they could teach girls the
Moilet
and things like that. He said, yes,
Cheshbon Biava. Cheshbon Biava, you could teach it. Okay. But the Chazanish himself put them in Shemus. The fact that I would is one thing. I would probably find a way to sell it, but one thing I would do is check the math. That would be my first. Okay, Sif Yud Daled is a companion sif to Sif Yud Gimel, so I have to review a rather complicated but important point that was a hagdama to Sif Yud Gimel. I mentioned to you last week there's something called Din Ariv and Din Eved Kanani, two basic halachis in the Halach Hilchus Mammon, Din Ariv and Din Eved Kanani, and let me just review what the rules of Din Ariv and Din Eved Kanani are as they apply everywhere and as they apply here. Now it's an important Shas Yediyah. Din Eved Kanani is a halacha that when two parties do a Kinyan Kesef, Reuven gives Shimon money to do a Kinyan Kesef of any sort. He wants to be kind of Karkai, whatever he wants to get. Reuven gives Shimon money, that's a Kinyan. Din Eved Kanani says that if it's not Reuven, if it's somebody representing Reuven, it's just as if Reuven had given the money. That's the din of Din Eved Kanani. That if someone else gives the money, it's a Kinyan as if he had given the money. That's the halach of Din Eved Kanani. Din Ariv is the reverse. In Arev is if Reuven gives, but he doesn't give it to Shimon. He gives it to someone else on Shimon's say-so. That's called Din Arev. Shimon is sort of the Arev, the guarantor. He says, give the money to the third party. It's as if I got it. So when he gives it to the third party, it's as if he gave it to Shimon. That is called Din Arev. One, the giver, one, the receiver, if it's a different person, without hilchus shlichus. It's a halacha that be'etzem, it's like he got it. That's Din Eved, Kanani, and Din Arev. Of course, you have Din Shnehem, which is when the giver is not Reuven and the receiver is not Shimon. Someone gives on behalf of Reuven and someone receives on behalf of Shimon. So that's called Din Shnehem. It also applies. The Gemara's case has it by a woman who's Mekudeshes. So if the man doesn't give the ring, someone else gives the ring on behalf of the man. And it's not Shlichus. The other man is giving his own ring. It belongs to him, not to the Chassan. Din Eved Kanani said, very appropriate for a Chassan, you know, Din Eved Kanani. So somebody else gives it with Din Eved Kanani, and it's as if the Chassan gave it. Reverse, if the Kala is very busy the night of the wedding, and sends someone to substitute, and that person receives it, Loimi Boy, if that person is a Shliach, it's as if the Kala got it. But even if that person receives it for himself or herself, not as a Shliach of the woman, Din Arev says, as long as she said, give it to him, it's as if she received it, whatever the lumdis is. In Hilchus Ribbis, the Din Eved Kanani is a Kula, and Din Arev is a Chumra, as follows. It's if you'd give what we had, that when a third party gives money to a lender, gives the Ribbis, gives money to a lender, and says, lend money to Pliny, it's Mutter. Din Eved Kanani says that if someone else gives the money, it's as if he gave the money. The answer is, it's not his money. Ribbis is only the money that's min ha-loiva la-malva, when the loiva gives his money to the malva. If a third party gives his own money, that third party is not giving the loiva his money, gives his own money. So din eved kanani by ribbis is mutal chatchila. I mentioned to you last week that it's a device used by rabbanim when people get into trouble, and they drew up an agreement be'isser, and someone has to bail them out. So you get a third party to give the ribbis to the malva unconditionally, and hopefully the loiva will reimburse the third party, but he can't guarantee it. So that's the way, a way around problems. No recourse, right? So that's the din Eved Kanani that we learned last week. Sifya Dalit is din Ariv, which is a chumra, which is the following. Osir Laima, Sifya Dalit. Osir Laima, Elvacha, Mone al Menashe Titin Zuz la Pliny. I'll lend you a mone on the condition you give Pliny a Zuz, Oyla Hegdish. Now we have people doing this all the time. They say, look, I can't take ribbis, I'll lend you money, but give tzedakah. Give money to tzedakah. I'll lend you $1,000, but you have to give $100 to tzedakah. I feel when I say Pliny, why you kechavim? Even as I say tzedakah, he says give it to a guy. Af bishen echayiv lai. And even though the lender is not saying give it to him because I owe it, ribis tzutzahu. It's aser. That's ribis dairaisa. Vechiluk bein ach omar amal v'kach oy omar haloy v'meyatz v'kach v'omar v'loy v'shum zeh. It's absolutely aser. There's no machlekes in this. In this case, and this is an Isser Gomor, to lend someone money on the condition, you don't want to take ribbis from him, so you do it on the condition that he give money to Tzedakah or to someone else. That's a problem. Rabbi Kivager is a Chiddush. The bottom line of Rabbi Kivager, I lahegdish. Afilu loimer elvacha kuf. Vititen kuf beis, is that? Lahegdish? 2%. Vititen kuf beis lahegdish also. I tell you, I'll lend you $100, you don't even have to pay me a penny. I'll lend you $100, you give $102 back to tzedakah. That's also ribis tzutza. Because din ariv is that since I'm sort of guaranteeing they're going to get the money, I'm representing that my I'm going to get receiver, I'm going to be liable. When they get the money, I'm losing in effect that money. So that is an isser of ribis deraisa. The shach yotes says, umafkina mine.
So the tzedakah has to be used here?
Well, he has a tfiya. He's the one that the malva.
What tfiya does he have? He doesn't owe any money.
He does. He lent him money on the condition he pays someone. If he doesn't pay someone,
the other guy.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't pay him, then he owes me.
Yeah, but
If he doesn't pay him, then he owes me. Isn't that, yeah, that's the case.
Is that the condition?
Yes, of course. He lent him money on the condition he pays them. He gives them money.
And if you don't pay them, then you owe them the money?
I mean, if he tells them, listen, I'm lending you money, I want you to give money there, but if you don't give them, I'm liable. Well, it's understood to be a condition. When I give you, like, give you money, on the condition you give it to a third place, my understanding is that's a condition of the loan.
No, the condition, just say, it's a condition to pay him. So now the onus is on the third party
to pursue it. Okay, you're right. Even if it's on the third party, it would be the same. Even if he says, I'm not pursuing you, let them pursue you, it would be the same.
It would
be the same halacha.
What does it say?
Okay. The halacha would be the same. It says, because it says also loimar so and so, the ribis too. So it's just the construction of the sentence.
It should say ribis.
No, it says also loimar v'chavish the afilo b'yisplay v'chav filmi shenachayev loy. Period. It's also to do this. And if you did it, ribis too.
I told him mavul loyver.
What? See, even though it's not mavul loyver, the din oriv is enough to make it like mavul loy.
You always say that if there's no loan. There's no,
if there's no liability, there's no. Like that's what you're saying.
There's no loan. Sometimes you say in certain cases there's no loan.
There's no loan, right?
There's
if there's no loan,
if there's no loan to the charity. There's no loan.
There's no loan to the charity. There's a loan, but there's a loan to the liver. The liver received the loan. He received $100, but he has to pay back $102 to the charity. So the liver did receive a loan, right? Money was lent to him. He has to pay that back. It's a loan. It's a total.
If I give you money, you have to pay me back money, that's a loan. If I give you money and you have to pay him, that's a condition. I just say, I'm giving you $100, I condition that tomorrow you...
You pay back. No, condition you go somewhere... If it's something that's shava kesef, then it's a repayment. If it's shava kesef, it's a repayment. If I tell you, give you a loan, but if you do this and this type of...
I give you a loan on the condition, you say my father said a doctor.
If it's shava kesef, then it's a loan. Then it's a loan. That's usur. I can't say I'll shovel your walk if you shovel my walk. That's a problem. So if I say I'll lend you money if you shovel my walk, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, unless shoveling the walk is worth less than the money. But if it's worth...
If the Taveya, it has to be... If the Taveya... If the Staka cannot be Taveya... If the Staka cannot be Taveya, then I read it. But if the Staka has to be Taveya, then they only owe them 102. There was a loan.
There was a loan to the Laiva. Amunasi pays a third party.
No loan because there's no Malveya.
It's a loan. What he gave the recipient was a loan, because the receiver of the money has no net asset from it. He has he received $100 and he received a liability of $102. That's my understanding. All right. Now, who does he? This has to do with your argument. Who does he pay back? It's Rivas Kitzutza. I lent someone $100. I told him give $102 to tzedakah. I told him give $2 to tzedakah. Give me my $100. Who is obligated to pay back the ribis? Maybe to do with what you're asking. The Shach says, Umafkina minei. Umardachai shamda maitzia mi malva kivin di'i uaisvei. V'katzim ima laisiv yaiser. V'lignayla plaini. You see what the Shach holds? The Shach holds that the malva has to give back the extra $2. The malva lent money to the laiva. Amadasi gives him $100 and $2 to tzedakah. He is obligated to repay the $2 because it's his obligation. Yeah, he's responsible for it. They know it exists. The question is, once they get it, who has to return it? Look at Pischei Tshuva Yod Aleph. I don't think it matters, because as long as he has to pay back. If he has a way of not paying back, then no, if he has the option of not paying anybody anything, then you're right. Yeah.
But I suggest
so it'll be Rebbe Shenech Tzusa. If he's not Machai himself, it'll be Rebbe Rabbanan. Right? If he tells him You don't have to pay anybody anything. You know, later, on his say-so, he gives him tzedakah. It would be Rebbe's Neshenik Tzutzah.
Even if he gives it...
He gives it al daita, yeah, I think so. Pisrei Tshuva Yod Aleph is metakfek on Nishach. So Yod Tzutzah, Yayim B'Tshuvah Tveres Tzvi, Yerodei Memchez Beis, Hagoyda Chosid Merenu, Rav, Rav Kiv Eger, Zitzal, Histapek, Ima Makabel Chayv Lahazul Amalva. Listen to that. Im hamakabel chayiv lahachzir lahamalva. In other words, the malva pays back the two zuz to the liver. Right? The malva pays two zuz to the liver. Does the tzedakah now have to give the two zuz back to the malva? Muzal kosev vali hamakabel einim hazer. Otu nosel hayavur hava. Rakadisino hayavur shetzatziva laylite. Vadin she yitfahu as hamalvaloi midin oriv. The again hanesino hayavur shazet sivaloi liteng. The loiva gave $2 to tzedakah because he told him to. Vadin she yitvahu as hamalvaloi.
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah. I'm sorry. Vadin she yitvahu as hamitzavaloi. The loiva could be teveya. It's from his tzutza. So he could go back to the malva and get his money back. Midin Arif. It's as if he received it. Midin Arif. But there's no time to get to tzedakah, which got it for matana. Miu nasa lezeva amalai ani nais lechavur shani tzarch litla pleini avur ribis. He gave it to the tzedakah, the third party. He said, "I'm giving it as ribis." Shapem azur mu ribis ktsutza. So he says it depends how it was given. How it was given, in what way it was given. If the third party just received a gift, so you can't obligate them to pay back. If the third party received, not as a gift, but as a, but as ribbis, so then when they received it, they knew it was ribbis, and then it's a problem.
Kiveki said, even if he said, I'll give you 100, if you pay the tzedakah 102. So how would this fit in? So what are we giving back? What are we giving back?
The extra $2.
So
the Mal gives the $2, does he have to give it back to him? Okay, so we have Sifyut Gimel Yadalit. Sifyut Gimel is Din Ore, Din Eva Knani, which is Mutter. Sifyut Dalit is Din. Now here's a brain teaser.
Is that a third party or is it private thing?
What case
are you afraid of? Gemach is somebody else. Can the Gemach give say, that the other person gives the Gemach,
No, it's also, the Gemach is not allowed to lend Amanos, somebody makes a donation to the Gemach. It's also. Okay, it's a common problem. They don't call it Amanos. They say you have to be a member of the Gemach, you give us a membership fee, and then we'll give you a loan. That's a problem. If he gives membership way ahead of getting the loan, maybe it's Ribbis Mugdamis. If he gives it at the time he's asking for the loan, then it's Ribbis. Okay, now here's the logic question, which is a very tricky one. Let's review the two sifim and get to Din Shneim. We learned the Kula Nechumra. We said if the giver of the Ribbis is not the borrower, that's Mutter. The giver has to be him. If the receiver is not the lender, that's still Aser. Even if it's someone else in place of the lender. Question. What happens now if both the giver of the ribbis is not the receiver and the lender of the ribbis is not, let's say, one second, you're right. Let's say somebody says, I'm willing to lend you money. But I'll only lend you money if a third party is willing to give a gift to someone else, to a fourth party. Let's say I would say that. I'll lend you the money, but you've got to get your father to give a gift to Pliny. So what would you say? So we would say, L'chaira, that that's mutter. Because it's only aser if malayva lamalva. Well, it's true, if the receiver of the ribbis is someone else, it's still aser. But if the giver is someone else, then it's mutter. The problem is that the Shulchan Aruch says that din shneim is aser. And the Shachar tells Amatmiya, the Bach, many Amatmiya, they say it doesn't fit. Now, actually, the Shulchan Aruch's case of Din Shneim is slightly different. It's not, I'm lending you money, Amanos, party three gives money to party four. That's not the case. It's a variation of it. And the variation happens to be something that comes up. If I tell you the case that comes up, you're going to start screaming. So I'll tell you in a minute. Let's read the words inside. Sif Tesvav, the Mechaber. Yeshaimrim, at least it's only Yeshaimrim, Sha'asa Laimala, you can't tell somebody, Amar Leplaini Shita Lechadala Dinarim, Ve'elva Lechamais. Tell Pliny to give you a gift. The gift is also goes to the Malva. Tell Pliny to give you, the Laiva, a gift. Then I'll lend you money. So this Yeshaimrim holds that it's also to do such a thing. You're telling party three to give money, so it's not the borrower, and to the person who's borrowing. To the borrower, who again is not the receiver of ribbons. No one's for him to receive ribbons. Now, when this comes up, is sometimes people come to someone for a loan. They say, listen, you want to buy a house, you need this much money. If you can get your father-in-law to give you $100,000, I'll lend you the other $100,000. That's something that people sometimes say. If you get plenty to give you this, then I'll lend you the money. So the Shulchan Aruch says that that's awesome. Matching funds. What's a gift and what's a loan?
It's matching funds. That's exactly matching
funds. Call it matching funds. Yeah, but they're both donations. There's no loan. Here, I'll give you a loan on the condition that Pliny gives a gift. Yeah, but one's a loan and one's a gift. I lend you money. Well, crooked people do that. They give a loan and they get them to give a thing and then they take cash back and everyone's a ganav together. They tell me, everyone's gaining, what's the problem? I say, no, everyone's losing. Everyone's a ganav. You're a ganav, he's a ganav, and you know. What? A rib is on top of it, that's right. So, what? Oh, that's a good question. What's the Yisra over here? It's, I'm lending, it's, well, the argument is this. I'm lending someone $100,000, he's going to pay me back. I'm only lending it on the condition someone else gives, which shouldn't be a problem. Someone else gives him a gift. If you'll give him a gift, I'll lend him the money. That's the case. Someone comes to me, you know, wants me to lend the money. I say, if you give him something, I'll do it. Now, what could be the problem? It's a third party giving the money. Sifu Gimel says that whenever a third party gives the money, then it's aser.
If it's a third party to a fourth party, that's okay.
It was really the same thing. The Gra says it's the same. The Gra in Lamed Aleph says, the Havi ketem mona leploini v'kadish ani loid v'kadish v'shneim. Dolei kabach. He's saying that it's the case of v'din shneim. It's the same as a third party to a fourth party. I guess this is just deeper behavior. Yeah, that's the Gra understands.
It might be a benefit on security because if the house is worth $200,000 and $100,000 he gave as a gift,
he has a benefit of security that he's securing his loan. Okay, that's a good argument. The question is, that's what he meant. What?
Okay. I say I'm going to lend some institution money on condition they call up a second institution to hire my son-in-law as a rebbe. Is that what we're talking about here?
So it's not that's money. Worse. That's worse.
That's worse.
Well, it's not really worse because a child. Who, if you're supporting the child, then it's worse. Because then you're benefiting. It's called mishtashla, you're benefiting. If you're not supporting the child, well, you're not obligated to, even if you're doing it incidentally, but you're really not obligated to, you didn't obligate yourself to, then it's really a case that should be mutter. It should be mutter, yeah.
You can always do that, right?
Yeah. It says it's all, this is us,
now,
or that.
If the third party should pay my son money, who's married,
right.
So I can get the money.
That's if you're dollar, that's us. To lend somebody money, unless he gives ribbons to a third party. If he gives the Karen back, it's mutter. If he's giving
the third party, he can give the fourth party, and the fourth party is the Malvistan.
The third party can give the fourth party,
and the fourth party. The fourth party money, and the fourth party is the Malvistan.
Let me read to you the next sif. Mutter loyim lechaveirai, helach zuz, ve'amar leploy nishil venu, v'afilu ben hamalva. It's a variation of what you're saying. I will learn in a second. It's a variation of what you're saying, but we'll see. It's actually more like Shach Tezvav. Shach Tezvav. Back in Sif Yud, if you look a page back, it said, Osa lalamid es amalva, ayis benoi mikroi gemara, kals mashem ayis abiyadai. It says, you're not allowed to do a favor for the child of the malva. But the Shach said, why? Shachtezov kiman shav chayv lamdai. So if he's doing something I'm obligated to do, that's ribis. I'm not obligated to do it, then it's not ribis.
But if the malvus sub is married and he has no, she wouldn't do it.
Okay. It's a voluntary shiva. The anyway, this is the problem. The problem is Siftezvav, why is it usur? The giver is not the borrower. The giver is a third party. And so if you give what we said, whenever the giver is a third party, it's mutter. Shachintaz a marich to struggle in this. Now let me just finish. Okay, let me. And the answer that they give is maybe it's really what Moshe started to say. The answer they give is that there's something called scharpius. I would pay someone, there's a value to get a broker to convince someone to do something. There's a market value. There are people. No, in this sif, I'm back here. We said, I'm not allowed to tell someone, I'll lend you money if Mr. 3 gives money to Mr. 4. And why is that usur? The life is not giving anything. So what the Shach says is it's only usur if there's a concept of scharpius. I'm telling you, I'll lend you money if you'll convince party 3 to give something to party 4. If there's a market for people who go to convince people to do it, you know, Artscroll has a hired person. His job is to get donors to donate mesechtis or whatever it is that they're raising money for. It's a ability that a person has, a talent, and it's marketable. He gets paid for it. So if I tell someone, you use your talents to convince 3 to give 4, so I'm really getting something. I'm getting scharpius. And that's why it's also. That's how the Shachantaz explain the Mechaber. Why the Gra says Tarach B'Zebechinam is a bit mysterious. It seems that you have to come on to our explanation. So this completes your Gimel Yadal Tezvav, Din Ariv, Din Evekanani, Din Shneyem. The big news is what's Mutter. Because in Luchas Ribis you assume everything's Aser unless it's different. And the Heter was Din Evekanani, where a third party can give money to someone to convince him, to get him to lend money, provided he doesn't give an ongoing percentage. He gives him a one-time gift. That's what. I'll lend you money if a third party will give you a job. So that's the sif. That's exactly the sif. Right, so that's the sif. That's exactly the sif. I'll lend you money if you convince Pliny to give him a job or to give him a gift. Either way. That's the sif. If there's a scharpius, then it's also. If you would pay people to try to convince, then it has a value. If you wouldn't, then it doesn't. It's true, again, if it's worth something to hire someone to convince him to give him the job, so it's not the work. It's the work of convincing him to give him a job.
I'll lend you the money, but you have to get money from someone else without mentioning anybody.
The truth is, it's hard to understand the whole scharpius. He's being mafias someone to give him something. Like, what scharpius? He would want to do it himself. No, you can tell someone to get someone to guarantee a loan. That's a cost of a loan. A cost of a loan you can pass on. The cost, the pius of getting a guarantor, you're allowed to pass on. We're going to have a beferish later. We'll have it. Okay. You can give someone a loan on the condition he hires somebody is what the Mechaber asks. The Mechaber here says that that's Aser. The Shach says it's only Aser if there's a value in that scharpius of doing it. You're lending someone money. I mean, he gives a job. That's certainly Aser. So that's not this sif. That's the previous sif. If the receiver of the money is, he's the one giving something to a third party, that's din arev, that's us. Our shaila was where a third party is going to give a job. I'll lend you money, I'm not the third party.
Is it consumed?
Yeah, if it has a value. Okay, Sifta Zayin is this Ramah. The Mechaber is easy. The Ramah is the famous Satera de Rashi. Everyone likes to learn it because it says you're not supposed to be Mefarsim it. So it's nice to learn. Oh, well, I guess we have to learn the Mechaber first. The Mechaber is relatively easy. You're allowed to tell somebody else, here is an amount of money. And tell somebody that he should lend me money. You want to have a way of getting money to the child. You can even tell the child, here's money, on the condition you convince someone to give me a loan. Provided that you're not just disguising a gift to the father as a gift to the son. Meaning, if the son lives on the father's, at the father's table, or on the father's credit card, then you can't give the son money, it's like giving the father. But otherwise, you're allowed to pay someone to be an agent to arrange a loan. He's an agent to arrange a ribbis-free loan. He's saying, I'll give you money, find me a loan. I'll give you money, convince Pliny to give me a loan. So that, the Shulchan Aruch says, is mutter. There's no issue with paying someone to arrange a loan. You're allowed to pay for services.
So that's the same thing as you said before. It's
the cost of securing a loan. Right, that's the cost of securing a loan. There's no ribbis. You could argue that it's a harama, because the person's lending because he gave my son money. Rather, it says here on the side that it can't be that he arranges with him that the son is now going to give the money to the lender and say, okay, now lend him money. That's not mutter. You're allowed to pay him for his piece. What? It's not a cosigner. This is a broker. This is a broker. He's going to talk about a cosigner as well. This is a broker, right? Yeshayrim, the Ramah says, the broker can't turn around and give the money to the lender and say, look, he's giving me $100 to get a loan. I'll split it with you. I'll give you 50 and give him a loan. So that's aser. Bishalo yavayu laharim. Betzim will be mutter. They're going to come to do a haram. Now here is the Yeshayrim, the Hetera de Rashi. A great heter, if we would pass it that way, which we're going to have to figure out. Now listen to this lamdus. This is a Rashi, a psak of Rashi, not a Rashi in the Gemara, but a psak of Rashi that's recorded in the Mardechai. Yeshayrim de mutter li Yisrael loyma lechaveira Yisrael. One Jew could tell another, Leich v'halva limois b'pleini Yisrael b'ribis. I can tell you, look, I know Pliny is looking to lend b'ribis. I'm not going to talk to him. It's an issa d'oraisa. I'm telling you, I need $1 million at 10%. Go get me the $1 million. So the middle Jew, all three are Jews. The middle one goes to the third one. He says, can you lend $1 million at 10%? No, at the iska, straight ribis. And he says, fine. And they do the deal. So it's mutter. And you can pay him back the ribbis through the shliach. The loyos, let me finish. The loyos retira el ribbis habami ad loy velamalva. The ribbis, the Torah only asks his ribbis that comes from the hands of the loy to the malva. Vashliach, any yos shemisser. The high ribbis labdi deyu, it's not his ribbis. Vimishim shishlucha shaladam kamaisai. A shliach is varavera. You have the chap? It says, I'm allowed to arrange a ribbis loan through a shliach. Because a shliach is varavera. So your question is a good question. 1 minute. I'll tell you a story and we'll figure out the deal.
When the malva lent the money,
don't ask me questions. We'll figure it out. The case, we can't ask questions, what's the case? The case, as it's brought down, is I tell a shliach, go get me a loan, and full ribbis, 100% ribbis, personal guarantee, the whole business. I'm letting him know. I'm telling him go to Ruvei, tell Shim to go to Levi. He knows. Everybody knows. Still mutter. Ve'ein lefarsim adava b'vnei am oretz. I says you're allowed to be in farsim for good people. Ve'cheiniker, and the Shach agrees. We have the Ramon the Shach. Now let me tell you what this a case a ma'aseh shahaya. One of my favorite cases. You can't make these things up. It happened. Ma'aseh kachaya. Two fellas walk in here. One was a borrower. And what was the son of a wealthy fellow? And there's a third person, an accountant was there. The accountant was the middle person. This person told the accountant, get me a loan. They had a tip about a property that was going to go eminent domain. And they knew if they buy it, they're going to make, they made a whole, a wagon load of money in 6 months. So he said, you know, he was willing to give him 10, 20%, a very high percentage. And it was a pretty safe deal. They were buying cheap land, which was going to go eminent domain and be paid for, you know, as the government does. So it was all done. The I think the interest amount was $600,000. I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, and this fellow sits down, and he says, I know this fellow. And his friend was somebody who was a classmate of mine. The accountant, I didn't know. But anyway, all from people. And he says, listen, when the deal happened, I went to this fellow. And this fellow, it's his father's money. He went to his father. His father said, I'm not giving that much money without a personal guarantee. They got a personal guarantee. From the person taking the money, who now has to pay the interest, the borrower. They got a personal guarantee. They did the deal, and now they have all this money. So the fellow came in, and they live in Lakewood. I said, what are you coming to me from Lakewood? He says, Maishra Kachai, this is what happened. I want to give him the money. I don't want to sit $600,000. He said, with a straight face. He said, I want to give him the money. I don't want to. If it's Osir, I just can't do it. If it's Osir, I can't give it to him. I want to give him the money. I don't want to be in fights with him. We're good friends. And so they decided they're rabbi hopping. You know, they're trying to find a heter. You know, they exhausted the Rebbeim in Lakewood. Is that the best place to find coolest? And they came here and they said, do you have any way out of this? And he ate. And so I told him, tell me the story. This went through two people in between. Because he told the accountant to find me alone. The accountant spoke to this friend of mine, and this friend's not his money, it's his father's money, he's an elder Jew. He went to this elder Jew, and he told me, I'm in trouble. My father, you know, is a Holocaust survivor, a Peyish Yid, never learned in the yeshivas. Ribbis Sahin, Ribbis Sahar, $600,000, it's mutter. You know, it's not, there's no, you know, $20, I'll give the donation to Ribbis. But so the father, he was stuck in a very awkward position, stuck smack in between. He manages his father's money, and you know, at least the Karen he got back. But so I told him, I'll tell you the truth. It sounds like the Kula Darashi. It sounds exactly like Kula Darashi. He never spoke to the old man who's laying the money. He never spoke to him. He never dealt with him. The old man never signed any contract with him. And what? He gave a guarantee. So it was let's say it was total ribbis. Total ribbis. But so what? That's Rashi's kula. So if you do it through a middleman, then there's no isiribis. That's the kula de Rashi. That's what I told him. Now we're going to have to. Right. If it's mutter, then there's no avera. Nobody did. Eishliach is varavera means if you're going to say shlichus, it turns out it's an avera. Say shlichus and varavera. Once the shlichus is in chal, so then nothing happened. Nothing happened. So this is the kula of Rashi. Now, we have to understand the lumdis and the problems with the kula of Rashi. Okay, again, Rashi says, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven told Shimon, get me along Beribis. Shimon went to Levi, lent to Beribis. Everything went through Shimon. Reuven and Levi had zero contact. And now Reuven's paying the Ribis. He's giving the money to Shimon to deliver to Levi. So Rashi said, it's mutter, not to be mefarsim, the Ramah says, "V'chein ikar afagav diyesh mefakfikim behetezeh u'machmir alois." Right, Beis Yosef. What does the Beis Yosef say? Beis Yosef is quoted here in both the Taz and the Shach. You can see in Shachov Beis. He says, "Haterezav herich moed lachle kazeh v'kol dvar v'achrei shabeis Yosef kosev kol apleiskim heinegezeh v'shloi omroi Rashi miyolam v'ez etal metoya kosvay b'shmoi v'evi reis berura ich yekol rabbedin zeh." There are two major tainus against Rashi. Two major tainus against this, which would be a great kula. Despite these tainus, I have to tell you, the list of paiskim that are meiko is extremely impressive. There's a rule generally when the Raman de Shach are meiko, that at least Ashkenazim are meiko. When you have the Raman de Shach that are meiko in Yeridei and Chayshim Mishpat, we're generally meiko. Here, the Chachmas Adam. And the Chassam Sofer Paskin like them, which are two of the later Paiskim that agree with them. And have any other names? Mishlo Melech, Paskin's like them, the Bach. So there are, as a matter of fact, the Chassam Sofer writes very interestingly, he says, Harama Omar Shaloi Lefarsim Hadover. V'ani Oimer Lefarsim Hadover. He says, in his days, many people were Oivar and Ribbis. Sani Oimer Lefarsim Hadover. Livchar Rabbi Miyutai, let them better. Do it this way, then they should do it this. And what's the time? The time is the following. It's a very stark time. The Beis Yosef says, What's happening? Reuven's giving money to Shimon. Shimon's giving money to Levi. And whatever. The Levi's lending money to Shimon, who's lending it to Reuven, and Reuven's paying Reuven to Shimon, who's paying it to Levi. So you're going to say, Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira. So to be decisive, if Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira, so we have two loans by Aveira. A loan is happening, and Shimon can't make a nice loan. So Shimon goes to Levi, he tells him, I want to borrow money for Reuven. So Levi gives money to Shimon on the condition he gets back his principal plus a percentage. So we're saying, Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira. Okay, if it's Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira, then Shimon is the borrower. The Shimon is borrowing the money. When Shimon goes to Reuven, Shimon's lending it to Reuven. When Reuven gives ribbis to Shimon, that's ribbis. When Shimon gives to Levi, that's ribbis. So Beis Yosef argues that it's not two isurim, it's not one isur ribbis. Even if you're going to say like Rashi, that Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira, instead of one isur ribbis, it's two isur ribbis. That's the time. Total. Total responsibility. He's taking a certain level of achrayis. What is he taking it? Let's say I go to you and I tell you, I come to you. I tell you Pliny wants to borrow $100,000. No ribbon. I said, Pliny wants $100,000. Say, oh, Pliny, I'm his friend. You give it to me. I'm lying. Pliny never sent me. I want $100,000. So you give it to me that I should give to him. But Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira, or it's a lot. So what am I? A shomer on the money? I can't spend the money. Okay. The Beis Yosef, I hear what you say. The Beis Yosef taina is that if you're lending it, if you're giving it for use to me to give to him, that's a loan to me. Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira, it's a loan to me. Gershon is taina that it's only a shomer. What? I'm going to go after him. He's saying I'll shomer. He was just a broker. Yeah, but the son of the old man was the middleman. Yeah.
So, is that like a credit card?
What?
Is that a credit card?
It's not a solution to Acher Maisa. Yeah, the reason that it's a problem is what's taking place. When I go in the store with your credit card, what's taking place is the bank is lending you money, and you are lending me money. It's your credit card. The bank said, right, so the bank is lending the owner of the credit card money, and the owner of the credit card is lending me money. It's two loans. When the bank, which is a guy, lends it to the owner of the credit card, beribis, there's no problem. There's no avera. It's fine. It's mutter. Then, when the owner of the credit card lends it to me, he can't lend it to me, beribis. That's the problem. But Yosef says he's arguing with Rashi, saying it's two loans and therefore it's aser. Rashi is only mutter if somebody is a shliach to borrow money for me. That's not what's happening here.
Why is that?
There's no why like Rashi it's mutter. If you have a third person pay, there's no problem. The problem is getting a third person to pay. The case is where Reuven lent Shimon. Shimon was a shliach, however you want to call it, and that's what happened. Now I have to tell you, the way to resolve the kasha on Rashi is one of two ways. One is in the Chavos Das, one is the Mishloach Melech. Kus HaKesef sounds like the Mishloach Melech. That what they say is to break it apart. In other words, there are two ways to look at it. Again, there's Reuven, Shimon, Levi. So Reuven sent Shimon to borrow from Levi, and the money went back, and the ribbis goes back. Time is, it's two loans. So there are two ways to break it up and explain Rashi that it's mutter. The Chavos Das says that on the Keren is shlichus. So that when money was lent to the middleman to lend the first person, for the Keren deal, for the principal deal, it was chal. And the loan is chal. For the interest part of the deal, that's the Ein Shleach Edvar Aveira. So he cuts it in half. The question is how you can cut such a deal in half when it's contingent one on the other. And he says that's why Rashi held the lender and the borrower are the outside people on the Keren. The ribbis payment is coming from a third party, like Sifyud Gimel, that the third party is paying the ribbis and the other person is giving him the ribbis that he's paying the third party. That's how the Chavos Das sort of cuts it with a fine knife. He himself says that it really should be a case where that was the original arrangement. That the Keren is from him to him, and the ribbis from him to him, because if it's a condition, it really doesn't work. The Mishnah Lemelech does the reverse. He says that the keren is too long. The Beis Yosef is right. Ruvein le Shimon, Shimon le Levi, and Shlechet Varaveir. When it comes time to pay the ribbis, Shimon doesn't want to pay ribbis. That's not what Shimon has in mind. Shimon, in his mind, Levi is going to pay the ribbis to Ruvein. Now that is mutter. Because if you say Ruvein led Shimon, Shimon led Levi, then Levi's allowed to pay ribbis to Ruvein, because the third party can pay ribbis on behalf of somebody. So the Mishnah Lemelech explains it this way, that it's like a third party paying ribbis for me. And that is the Siba, that is the reason for Rashi's Heter. Now I'm a fact picking on this also, and a lot has been written to defend Rashi, to argue with Rashi, but basically a person has to split it one of these two ways. Let me just finish the Ramah because it's late. The bottom lines, V'chein ikar api sheish mefakfin kabahat ezeh, machmiru la'isra, yeshus v'cholav la'isairach, v'makam oke m'maloi v'kibbal ha'mois ba'atzmai min ha'malva, rak sheshaleach le'ha ribis, asr. If he took the loan directly, he's paying the ribis through a shliach, that even Rashi would asr. Aval m'shliach ha'malva, aval m'shliach ha'malva, hilva l'loiva b'ribis, v'asr shtar. If there was a contract between the two outside people, beribis, avasa shtar al shem amalva, havekilu hilva lo yamalva atzmai. If he made a shtar, I think it means that the outside people are signatories to the shtar. Asar afilu asa shliach b'leidas mishalchay, the shtar ovid lo ikar halva, bu nichtav al shem amalva. Even without his das, he's saying, to be understood, but he's saying if there's a document with the outside people, that's asar. However, otherwise, it's ein shliach advar aveir, you have this heter derashi. Again, there's Amal Lismaich. If somebody wants to use Hetera Derashi, it's the Ramah, the Shach, Chachmas Adam, Mishnah Melech, some Sefer. You have at least five Gedalei HaPaiskim. The Chavis Das is not so happy, Lamaisa. He has conditions that are not common. But you have five Gedalei HaPaiskim. What happened in my story, they had in their contract a certain Rav to go to, Rav Bik from. So they went back to him and they said, oh, we have an Eitzah. Someone says Hetera Derashi. He said, well, no, you like Hetera Derashi, and that was the end of it. I don't know the end of it, but that was, as far as my involvement, the end of it. So it's a nice, the story was worth it, because after that, I'll never forget Hetera Derashi, you know, it's a Gishmak Hetera.
Are they not allowed to go to the Besson?
I'm not sure. You're allowed to go to someone. If he gives you an idea, you go back to the first person and tell him the idea. In Chashim Mishpat, it is that way. Sometimes you remember a shach, you remember Ketzais. That's a derech.
Why isn't the bank itself considered a middleman? Like the Shimon, if you're paying for the water, then the bank's really paying, directly paying to the
current. Therefore, why does it have to do with anything?
Because, I don't know.
It's not helpful. It's not helpful when the two outside people spoke and made arrangements. It doesn't matter how the money goes. This heter is only when the outside people are not involved. It was only through shlichus. All right, we have a Ben Azmanim of one Sunday. That's next Sunday. God willing, Sunday, Isruchag. We'll be here, Bezos Hashem. I may have to be somewhere, but as of now, I hope to be here. Sunday morning, Isruchag. Hakosh Vesameach to one and all.
Could be you. I mean,
if you should be telling this head to the Rashi, can you start a model that way? What's interesting is the Beis Lechem Yudah says, even if you argue with Rashi, it's only a drabon. It's a point. It's a point.